That Sam I am, that Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am. We all understand that if a person makes a promise or swears that he's not going to eat a particular type of food, let's say green eggs, in a plane or on a train or on a boat or with a goat, etc., that the plane or the train or the boat or the goat are merely accessories to the Isser. The Isser is to eat the eggs. And the plane and the train and the boat and the goat simply provide a context in which the Isser awakens and takes effect. But the role of the eggs themselves, of the food which he promised or swore not to eat, is less pashut. Are the eggs just like the plane or the train or the boat or the goat, which are purely tangential? They help to create the context in which the achila, the maisa of ingesting food, is asur? Or are the foods more, are the eggs more than merely a context for this food to be asur? They are forbidden foods, ma'achalos asuros. In the same way that chametz on Pesach is forbidden to eat, in the same way that treif is forbidden to eat, as the same way that any food on Yom Kippur is forbidden to eat, foods which I promised or swore not to eat are forbidden to eat. They don't merely create a context in which an act of ingestion is asur, but they themselves are forbidden. This shayla claims the Rosh, based on a Gemara in Nedarim, is the critical threshold between defining the power of a shvua and defining the power of a neder. Says the Rosh, when a person makes a shvua not to eat something, he essentially is making a shvua not to perform an act of ingestion in the context created by this particular food. The food is just an accessory to the Isser Achila. In contrast, says the Rosh, when a person makes a neder, the role of the food is not simply in creating the context for a Maisa Ha'asur. The food itself becomes a Chefetz, a Cheftza Ha'asura, a forbidden object, forbidden to ingest. And that, says the Rosh, is the difference between a shavua and a neder. The Rosh enumerates three practical nafkaminas, three practical consequences or outcomes of these particular identities of nedarim and of shavuos. First, the first two are already found in the Gemara, namely that a neder is chal even to prevent a person from doing a mitzvah, and a shavua is not. Says the Rosh, why? And the Rosh answers, a person is obligated to perform mitzvos, and no amount of promising or swearing can remove that obligation. It's an obligation which he took upon himself at Har Sinai with the power of a shvua already, and therefore nothing can budge that initial shvua that he made at Har Sinai. However, foods, inanimate objects, never accepted upon themselves to perform mitzvos. So if a person makes a shvua, he says, I promise, I swear that I will not perform, that I will not eat matzah on Pesach. What he means is that he's swearing that he's not going himself to perform an act of achila with a piece of matzah, and the shvua is chal on him. It's in him. It's his iser to act, and therefore it has no room to be chal because he's already obligated himself to act and to eat the matzah at Har Sinai. In contrast, if he makes a neder to forbid matzah to himself, so then the neder is not chal on him. The neder is chal in the matzah. Or at least, it's not chal only on him, it's also chal in the matzah. The matzah was never previously obligated to be eaten on Pesach. So therefore, there is room for the Isser to be tofes in the matzah, for the matzah to become a ma'achol ha'asur, the same way that treif is a ma'achol ha'asur. And therefore, the matzah indeed could become forbidden to him, because it was never obligatory upon the matzah to be eaten by him. But he cannot forbid himself to the matzah, forbid himself from eating the matzah, because he had a prior obligation. That, says the Rush, is the difference between whether the root of the Isser or the anchor of the Isser lies in the person or in the object. The second nafkamina that the Rush brings from the Gemara is that a shvua can be chal even on something which has no concreteness, which has no mamashos. For example, the act of jumping, the act of sleeping, can become forbidden to a person via a shvua. And why? Because a shvua is anchored in the person. The person prohibits and forbids himself from performing this action. But he, his body, is the anchor of the shvua. And therefore, the shvua has a concrete anchor and can take effect. But a neder needs to be anchored. It's not anchored solely, or not anchored primarily in the person, but rather in an object. And therefore, in the absence of an object, a neder cannot be chal. It has nothing concrete in which to anchor itself. And therefore, it's blown away by the wind, and it's as if it was never taken. This, says the Rosh, is the second difference between a neder and a shvua. A neder needs a concrete object to root itself in, whereas a shvua, the concrete object which is its anchor, is the person himself, is the gavra, not a cheftza. The third nafkamina, says the Rosh, is not as explicit in the Gemara. The Rosh says there's a concept which the Gemara discusses at the beginning of the third parak called hatpasa. And hatpasa means that if one thing, one object is forbidden, and I bring a second object along and I say this should be like the first object, the second object could become asur. Says the Rosh, let me ask you even, predict what the Rosh will say. Is there hatpasa by shvuos? Is there hatpasa by nedarim? Tell me, what's the Rosh going to say? If I have a piece of an egg which is asur to me because I made a neder not to eat it, and I take a second egg and I place it next to the first and I say zeh kazeh, the second one is like the first one, zeh kazeh bishvua, does the second one become asur? And zeh kazeh bineder, does the second one become asur or not? The Rosh answers, when it's a shvua, the second one does not become asur, because the first egg is not an egg which is asur. It's an egg which creates for the person the context in which a particular ma'isa achila is asur. But the egg itself has no inherent or intrinsic forbiddenness or isur to him. So therefore, there is nothing to be transferred from the first egg to the second egg, because the egg is merely an accessory. It creates the context for a ma'isa achila ha'asura. But when it comes to a neder, says the Rosh, the Isser is rooted and anchored in the first egg. And therefore, hatpasa will work. One can transfer the Isser from the first egg to the second egg. The Ran comes along and asks a kasha on the Rosh. He says, L'cha'ora, we find a case of hatpasa even by people. Let's say that a person is a nazir, and a second person comes along and says, I am like him. So you would expect that in this case, the hatpasa should work. It's a shvua. It's in the gavra. From one gavra to another gavra, that the hatpasa should work. Because it's only when we're talking in the context of a shvua, from a cheftza to a cheftza, that's when a shvua won't have any hatpasa, because the cheftza is merely an accessory. But if a person does a hatpasa in the gavra, says, I, as a person, am like him as a person, and just like he's the anchor for particular ma'isim ha'asurim, I too accept upon myself to be the anchor for certain ma'isim ha'asurim. So that should work. And nevertheless, says the Ran, the Rif paskins that it doesn't work. Why is this? So in order, the Ran says it could be that in Inochinami halacha l'maisa, that hadpasa mechefza lechefza works by nedarim, and hadpasa migavra legavra will work by shavuos. The Ran is willing to entertain that possibility, but the Rif is not willing, and the Ran therefore needs to explain, according to the Rif, is there another difference, another fundamental difference between a neder and a shvua? The Ran answers, yes, there is. In addition to there being this distinction, that nedarim are anchored in chafatzim, and shvuos are anchored in people, there's a second difference as well. And that, says the Ran, is that a neder is what we call yesh meyesh. There's no such thing as an original iser neder. Every neder, says the Ran, must draw its source, its root, its wellspring of iser from a previously existing iser, either from a previously existing neder or from hektish. There's no such thing as an original neder. However, says the Ran, a shvua is yesh me'ayin. It's something from nothing. A shvua does not need to rely, does not need a previously existing shvua in order to take effect. Shvua can take effect even in a void, even in a vacuum of previous iser. The person creates the iser by his speech. He doesn't simply transfer the iser. And that's why, says the Ran, a neder from an object to an object is going to be chal with hatpasa. Because the whole nature of a neder is to extend a previously existing iser to an object which heretofore was not forbidden. But a shvua, says the Ran, even though a shvua is anchored in the gavra, it's anchored in the person, it can never be extended with hatpasa from one person to the next, because the identity of a shvua is bound up in being an original iser, and not an iser which was transferred or expanded or extended from one thing to another. And therefore, says the Ran, even though shvuos are anchored in the gavra, there's no hatpasa by shvuos, because a shvua by definition is something which is self-contained, and has defined boundaries. And the iser of a shvua can never be extended or expanded from one person to another. It always must be created from scratch, because that's what a shvua is.